you know, if you approach your work with compassion and really sincere wish to help that person, then somehow it, what do you call, provides a kind of blanket. And stress, we know how stress arises. We say that we need a certain degree of stress. It's called eustress, isn't it?
The positive stress.
In order for us to function, we need stress, certain level of stress. But if that stress level goes beyond the optimum level, then it becomes distress. So distress is the negative stress. That is the cause of all our problem. But how stress becomes eustress or distress is all depend on how we appraise the situation. So if we appraise the situation, if we perceive the situation as something undesirable, unpleasant, something kind of chore, I have no choice but to do it, then you feel the stress. But if you see this that situation as an opportunity, in our case, to practice Dharma, to help other people, then you are buffered by that compassionate attitude. So you don't feel that stress. So it is very good. So that's why in this kind of thing, so when we go through these Lojong practices, so when we are able to apply that in our daily situations, then it's good. I think we will later come across many situations where we are really, when we encounter that kind of situation, it really makes us so low and all that. But when you read and go through these texts, it is a good way to reflect and to cope. So this teaching is all about, I feel that it's more of a coping, but of course the main topic is the ultimate bodhicitta and the conventional bodhicitta. So in order to do that, so in order to achieve ultimate bodhicitta, we need to get rid of this, the view of a real personal identity. And then in order to achieve the conventional bodhicitta, we need to get rid of self-cherishing attitude. So this whole text is all about getting rid of, eliminating, or countering these two misconceptions or two opponents. So we will go through that, but anybody who wants to share, yes?
Oh, I just want to say something. I think it's really interesting that when I was a child, I was always told that peacocks were a bad omen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really thankful that in this context, peacocks are not a bad omen.
Okay.
I was visiting my friend this weekend, and he's fairly addicted to television, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's not alone.
he edits film, and he's been in video and film and transformation. Well, he's into extension of vision, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a tendency to watch comedies about politics. That's how he gets his information. And making fun of these idiots that are running our countries. And anyway, it was the first time that I had any empathy for Trump at all. And I gotta honestly say, I have no empathy for the guy whatsoever, not even a drop. But it's the first time it actually hit me, because I realized that the guy is so mentally, he's almost retarded in some ways. I feel like the guy just, his mental capabilities is so unfortunately bad that he can't help himself at all. You know? And yet he could, maybe, but there's just no... But it was weird that I actually got to that threshold. But I think the thing is, I don't think you should encourage people to... You should be strict with them and just say, that's bullshit, you know. Just enough of the bullshit and get on with, you know, some reality here, you know. It's people get stuck to that, and when they do, and I think this particular teachings help us not get attached to not only aversion or attachment, but just to get free from that. So in a way, I think negativities really can help us, but they also remind us that we all have our own problems to get over too. In order to help others, we have to get our own problems in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, how can we help others if we haven't even done any work with ourselves?
Mm.
That's what I take from this. So.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think it's when you first described that person, actually, I thought that you were describing me. I like to watch that Stephen Colbert's comedy. It's all about his remarks on politics. So I thought, are you describing me? Yeah, anyway, yeah, I think it's all about, so this is relevant because all this arises due to having this self-cherishing attitude. Because we cherish so much, we cherish ourselves so much, so whatever is against us or not in favor of us, we like to oppose. Whatever views that does not align with us, we oppose. We despise that person. Because fundamentally of that self-cherishing attitude. That's why we get so angry when somebody says negative things about us. So this is all about dealing with that core source. So let's see how we can progress. Anybody?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
It reminds me that I'm not peacock, but I'm eating this poison all the time. That keeps me reminded. Instead of trying to be and practice Bodhi Chitta, I mean, it's so hard. So that's why I keep myself. So I'm eating these all negative poison. I'm not people. I can't do this.
Mm-hmm, that
is the word that keeps me thinking for the whole week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yes, Ken.
Well, we had some discussions in our house about the whole concept of Lojong mind training.
Mm-hmm.
The whole concept of giving away your happiness and taking on the sufferings of others. And one thing that Mary pointed out, which I think is really important, is holiness himself says, you know, when things are wrong, you don't get angry. There's something wrong with you if you don't feel that. I think you were describing that as there are stresses in our life which cause us to act. The difficult thing in my mind is in doing Lojong, the point of separating between, all right, there's a stress in my life and it's wrong and it needs to be corrected. And as Anthony says, there's people in our government who are acting horribly and you got to stop them. And if you didn't get angry, you'd be blind. It's just so horribly angry. The thing is that what happens as a result of that is that your own self-cherishing takes over and you become self-righteous.
Self-righteous, yes.
All you want to do is shout and yell at somebody create more havoc. The thing that's hard in this practice that I need, at least for myself, to figure out is how do you hit that dividing line. All right, there's something wrong here. There's something that's really pissing me off, and that something has to be done about it. And how do I stop it at that point and turn it into this idea of taking and giving? I've always felt that that's very difficult, but especially nowadays in the kind of climate that we have politically and socially in this country, it's even more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's you know, this is not events that have happened specifically, but just contemplation about the whole idea.
So I think the Lojong is all about, you know, how to use these incidents, these situations, to help us in our spiritual development. I think one reason why we have so much problem is that we are accustomed to finding faults in others. When things go wrong, we always look out for someone or something to blame. So let's say if somebody said a nasty thing to you, and we will say that, oh, he spoiled my day. But if you really think about it, it is you. You have the choice whether you want to make your day spoiled or you want to, you know, have a fine day. It all depends on how you interpret that, how you receive that message. If you are able to interpret in a positive way, let's say if you watch a movie, of course it is hard to do, but that is the practice we are supposed to do. So somebody says this thing, normally, yeah, when we say things to others, especially when we say things to others out of anger, later when we apologize, we will always give excuse. Oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I was so angry. We always blame anger. So it is out of anger I said this thing. I didn't mean to say this. So when somebody says out of anger, we should be able to apply that logic, that rationale. Oh, you know, his anger, he has no control over his anger. He is not himself. He is just saying out of anger. So I shouldn't take it seriously. So if you don't take it seriously, you are fine. Your day hasn't been spoiled. But if you really take it and then you think on it and you think and think, elaborate, oh, maybe he meant this thing, maybe this thing, and then you come up with all kinds of things. We are very good at doing this analytical meditation. Or he earlier said this thing, or this time he says, that he must hate me so much. Maybe there's nothing there, it's just anger, it's just a situational thing, and he said it. But we interpret in many ways, and then it woke us up. And then, yeah, your peace of mind is gone. So these Lojongs tell us that when this happens, view it as the result of our own past deeds. That's why it says, it is my own evil deeds, the weapon of my evil deeds that's coming back to me.
May I add something? It's not like either or, we act or we don't act. I think it's question that even the Dalai Lama says we have to, you know, when there's injustice, we fight it. But it's in the state of mind that you do it, and you know, we have to learn how to soothe and calm ourselves to know what's the appropriate course of action. We're talking about, you know, we're discussing twice now national issues, national and international issues. So it's not all or nothing, you know. But we have to learn to sort out, you know, all this turmoil, and that's what this does.
So that's why we always say that forgiveness is not about condonement. We are not condoning other person's actions. And that's why we say that, yes, we have to stand up to them, but without anger. Anyone? Yeah.
I am very chronically sleep deprived right now, and I would really like to compare it to anger, because, you know, when I'm sleep deprived like this, sometimes I'll say things that are very sharp and very rude. And I'm not doing it out of anger, but it makes me sound very angry, and it's just because I haven't slept.
Maybe there's a little bit of agitation.
I think I'm just impatient.
Yeah. So we will see whether agitation is part of anger or not. Yeah. So let's try to continue on this. But I need to clarify something. Remember last week, we talked about whether bodhisattvas, when they experience illness, when they fall sickness.
Oh, right. Like, I'm so tired, I forgot to add this. Yeah, the point that I was getting to is that if you're angry, you just need to sleep.
Okay, could be a temporary.
Well, as the analogy goes.
Yeah. But of course, if you are angry, you won't be able to sleep.
Well,
that's the problem.
That's what I mean. It's not sleep, it's meditation, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. So anyway, remember we were discussing about whether bodhisattvas fall sick out of their karma or not. It is not an easy debate. There are a lot of nuances, isn't it? So anyway, of course, bodhisattvas, which level we are talking about? If bodhisattvas, like in the lower level, lower part, of course, they also have karma, so they experience. Here, what we are talking about is some of the things are like their conditions. Well, let's say, if I don't want to experience hot weather, I can choose not to go to India, especially in the summer weather. I know that India is going to be very hot in that time of the year. So if I don't want to experience that hot weather, I can stay back. Likewise, Minnesota, winter weather is cold. People go elsewhere. So bodhisattvas, even though they know that if they go to that particular place, they are going to experience that particular suffering, they will voluntarily go there because they can help these people. So that is the condition. Even though they have the choice, but they voluntarily go there so that they can benefit people. So that is, I think, the main point here. So where were we last? Let me test. Which verse we were?
We are finished verse 3. Yeah.
Verse 3, yeah? So we are now on verse 4.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. So there's this story. So now here says that Tadir Doja Zindu Nadanda Pao Maja Tabu Chumbarju Tarmo Charo Tabu Sola Cheese. So this is a continuation of this metaphor about this peacock being able to ingest poisons. Likewise, bodhisattvas are able to voluntarily take on sufferings in order to benefit sentient beings. So this is a continuation on that. So he says, now here, desire is like a jungle of virulent poison. The hero, like the peacock, masters it. The coward, like the crow, perishes. So there's this story that peacock and a crow, so they were friends, but then, yeah, the crow notices that the peacock's feather all the time shines, and then kind of, you know, the crow wanted to have this kind of that kind of shine and glittering feather like the peacock's. So the crow found out that the reason why peacock have this shiny feather is because peacock eats poison. So the crow, wanting to have the same kind of glittering feather, so consumed poison. And what happened? The crow died. So that is the story. So likewise, and when we have this self-cherishing attitude, when we are emptiness, when we have this entangled in this self-cherishing, when we cannot let go of self-cherishing, then, you know, we won't be able to use all these desires of other afflictions. So here only mentioned about desire, but you can use to all kinds of afflictions. We won't be able to utilize that because we are doing it out of self-cherishing attitude. Whereas Bodhisattvas, because they have not even a trace of that kind of attitude, whatever they do is really for the others. So they are able to do it. So that's the meaning here. Then rangdur chingi tukdi kanachun nyomu shiang la tishin charwa cha charo tabur tabe. So this is the same one. How can a person concerned only with their own desires master this poison? If they involve themselves in other afflictions as well, it will cause them their chance for emancipation, just like the crow. So this is again a comparison made between Bodhisattvas and ordinary people who are still slave to self-cherishing attitude. So as long as we are under the control of self-cherishing attitude, we won't be able to use these afflictions. The more we engage in afflictive emotions, it will lead to it will lead us into engaging in more negative actions. As a result, like the crow died of consuming poison, we will destroy our chance for emancipation. So that is the meaning here. So it says it depends. Rangdur chingi tukdi kanachun. So when you have this self-cherishing attitude, you won't be able to digest. You won't be able to use afflictions in your dharma. So we call it shendun rupe tap. Bodhisattvas. So here we talk about two types, but I don't want to elaborate on this. So this is, remember we said that this is also Tantrayana teaching. So in Tantrayana we talk about taking all these afflictions into path. That is from the Tantrayana's view, but in Sutrayana, so Bodhisattvas, they don't have to be born in samsara, they don't have to experience all this, they can avoid that, they can choose to be born somewhere else, but still they come and they still choose to be born in particular places so that they can help sentient beings. So when they engage in all these helping behaviors, they are also developing their own practice. They are engaging in what is called the six perfections of six perfections. So it helps their own practice through willingly taking on sufferings and then helping others. Tijir semba maja tabu yi tugi nadan dawe nyomu nam chu du cha la korwe nangsu juk tangdu lan la tugdi shombar chaas. Thus the Bodhisattva roams like the peacock in the forest of cyclic existence, converting the afflictions, which are like the jungle of virulent poisons, into an elixir, willingly embracing the afflictions, the hero shall conquer the poison. So So here when we talk about chu tu char, here they translate it as transforming all these afflictions into elixir. So this is a normal practice. We also say that even our consuming food, we always say kase men dan dawa ribai. When we consume, when we eat, we have to eat in order to survive. We have to eat and drink. But it's just the attitude. When you have this kind of attitude, I am eating this not out of attachment to food, but in order to survive so that I can benefit, I can help other sentient beings, so that I can work towards achieving enlightenment in order to help. So these are the ways to convert our situations. And likewise, even when we are staying in a big house or having a good facility, we can convert that into a practice by really, distancing our attachment towards all these things, material things, and really have this, generate this attitude that I am staying in this house, I'm using this and this, so that, I can help. But of course, it has to be a genuine one, but if you just use as an excuse, then it doesn't matter. You have to feel it. I have to have this so that I will do that. And then at the same time, you also make prayers that may I be able to help sentient beings. Even though I'm using all this, through using all this, may I be able to help sentient beings. And also you can all the time try to remember the kindness of others. So if you are living in a nice house, big house, we can recall the kindness of other people. How many people are involved in making this possible? And when you are driving your car, same way, how many people? There are so many people involved in that. So try to remember that, this is a result of so many people coming together and putting effort. So most of the time we have this, this is my property, I managed to get it, my money, I bought it. We keep forgetting that, how many people have worked to have asked that facility. So when you reflect on that, that will automatically, engender kind of sense of gratitude. And then with that gratitude, you can make the dedication that may I be able to repay them. Of course, there's no way to repay in material terms. So only thing and only beneficial or meaningful way of repaying them is through showing the path, helping them spiritually. So at the moment, we won't be able to help all. So only when we are like Buddhas, then we have all the means. We will be then well equipped to help all sentient beings. So remembering their kindness and then make that dedication that may I be able to help sentient beings. May I be able to achieve enlightenment so that I can help. So even just driving to your work, if you are able to have that kind of thought, that kind of contemplation, you are already practicing. So whatever distance it takes, you did practice. You are doing Mahayana practice. So that is good. Then goes on to say that Tani rāwān mēbār kūrwāyī tādū dzimbā tūjī pōnyādī rāndū kīndū rōtān pārātūyā lā shendun kaje tando langbar chas. So up to here, we have finished talking about generally. So now we are coming to the specific practices. So that's why it's in this Tibetan translation we said tani. So there is a word that to mean that we are now going into the specific practices. Tani rawam mebar korwa yi tadu zemba tuji ponya deyis. So this one is a bit tricky. So here it says that rawam mebar korwa yi. So basically saying that why we are wondering. So this is not our first life. This is not our first birth. We have taken countless, numerous births. So the one that makes us or ensnared, is it? Ensnared in this existence is all because of this ego clinging, this self-grasping. So because of that, we have been cycling and cycling in all kinds of existence. So this one he says that self-grasping is the translation is here the messenger of the devil. And then it says that the devil itself is the self-cherishing attitude. It is a bit different from what we normally say. Normally we will say that self-grasping is the root. Because of self-grasping, we develop self-attachment. Because of self-attachment, we develop this self-cherishing attitude. That's the way. But here it looks like the main one is the self-cherishing attitude. But I think it is because the self-cherishing attitude is very subtle. It is very hard to eliminate. Like arhats, arhats of hearer and solitudes, they have eliminated the self-grasping and also the seeds of self-grasping because they have achieved nirvana. But they still haven't eliminated self-cherishing attitude. That is why they're still there. So there's this attachment towards what is called the peaceful nirvana. So maybe because of that, in terms of subtlety and in terms of difficulty in eradicating that, so maybe that's why it is called that self-cherishing is like the main power who is the one that is pulling all that strings. Tadu zemba tuigi ponya di rangdui kindu roda patru la shendun kaje tandu lambar chas. So the analogy given is like the owner and the servant, the maid and the servant. So here is like the owner is like the self-cherishing, and then the mate is like the self-grasping. So it is difficult. It is not the normal way of saying. So I'm not sure. So because that the self-cherishing and self-grasping and self-cherishing attitude are the causes of why we are still in samsara, is that we need to get rid of this. Rangdu kindu rodan patru las. Distance yourself from the savior of selfishness and hedonism. Let me share my experience. That was recently. So I was coming back from work. I have to catch a bus. And I met someone, and she was talking to me. And while I was talking, I was looking for my bus. Because if I miss the bus, that bus, I have to wait another 10 to 15 minutes. So even though she hasn't finished talking, I was like kind of hurrying, looking at the bus, because I see a bus coming. So that kind of hurried me. So yeah, so I said, oh, the bus is here, I have to go. Later when I got in the bus, I realized how self-cherishing attitude taught us from all this doing good things, noble things. Because I am so important, you see. I don't want to wait. That's how the self-cherishing does, you see. All the time, I mentioned before, we see a beggar there, really suffering there. We want to give, but then the second thought comes. What about me? I have $100 in here. If I give $100, I won't have $100. If I let that person come and say, then what will happen to me? He may do something else. He may steal something. It's all about in relation to I. I is always there. Or they need some help or to do some charity work on Sunday. I want to go, but then I have something on. I have to go for my walk. I will miss that. So I realized that, oh, this is a really good example that, you know, because of this self-cherishing. If I had instead other cherishing thought, I will accommodate that person. As long as that person wants to talk to me, I will accommodate that. I would have accommodated that. But because my self-cherishing attitude took over other cherishing thought, I had to rush. And that person may not have finished what that person wanted to talk to me. So you see, so that's why he's saying that distance yourself from the savor of selfishness. We see that with His Holiness. His Holiness says that because of his age, he feels so exhausted. So I don't want to, you know, have so many events. And I think the office is trying to restrict. But when people get to see him, when people make the request directly, His Holiness accepts. So even though His Holiness knows well that it is going to be too tiring and too taxing for his health, but because this is helping others, he would accept. So these are ways to do it. And then we have this line in Lama Choba. Semjen riri chinya narmebe, mena keba kyazu ne gui kyang, ningji mi ju chanju chozunbe, chunju parjin zoba chinjalobs. So when it comes to perseverance, it says that even if I have to remain in hell realm 1,000 times, many times, just for one person, one sentient being, it says that I would do so. So these are all, you know, how to develop that kind of other cherishing. You don't mind sacrificing your happiness. You would do for others in order to benefit others. So distance yourself from the savor of selfishness and hedonism and willingly embrace hardship for the sake of others. So in this, when we read this, I think we need to really contemplate, not just read and go, and see. You know, you just recall all these unpleasant incidents you have in your life. Let's say if you had a quarrel with your whoever that person, and really analyze that interaction, that incident, and see how it has come about, how it has started off. I think we will find that self, the role of self-cherishing there. When your partner says something, you retort. Why? We normally use the term ego, but ego is self-cherishing. I am right. How dare you correct me? I am faultless. I can never be wrong. What I say is right. What you say is not right, isn't it? Yeah, when you really examine all these interactions, transactions, whatever you call that, you will see that role clearly. So it is good to identify that. When you identify that, then you will try to do something. That's all about teaching, isn't it? When Buddha first taught, he taught when first Four Noble Truths. The first thing he taught was the Noble Truth of Suffering. Because we need to identify that we are in suffering. We are suffering. Most of us, you know, when we have good life, we have some, you know, money, good house, we think that we are so happy, we are not suffering. But that's not true. That is suffering of change. You may have good house now. Look at those Bahamas. One night, you have a nice house, big house. The hurricane came, next day, gone, all gone. Same with money, same with friends, same with relatives. All this. What was I saying actually?
Suffering.
Yeah, suffering of change. So that's why you say first we need to understand what suffering is, and then we need to identify the causes of suffering. What brings about this suffering? That's when Buddha talked about the second noble truth, the suffering of the noble truth of origin of suffering. So this is very important, these two. When we first we realize that we are suffering, and then once we have that realization, we will find out what is causing, what is the cause. Once we have identified that, then we will, only then we will think about, is there a way to, you know, overcome that? That will happen. So likewise, when we have all this, what do you call, communication difficulty or transaction, is it you call that?
Conflicts,
arguments, all this in relationship, your relationship problems. So when you analyze all that, when you examine that, I think we will see the self-cherishing's role very clearly. So if we are able to do that often, then yeah, we will see that as a culprit, and then we will stop blaming others. We will see it as, my ego is actually in between that. And then, we will think about doing something about that. And that will improve our relationship. That will minimize conflicts. Then that is good to have, isn't it? Okay, let's have a break now. Are driven by the karma and their habituation to the afflictions. Be heaped upon me the hedonists. So one thing common in samsara is that we are, even though we wish for happiness, incessant happiness, is it? Continuous happiness. But we lack that. We don't achieve that. But the suffering is the one that we don't one to experience, but we are all the time bombarded with all kinds of sufferings, undesirable, unpleasant experiences. So here it says that these are all due to the due to legitations.
Due
to legitations. That's not English.
I didn't say I just
said. He says legitations. So that means it is karma because of karma. And that karma, of course, it is negative karma. But that is because that is due to self-cherishing attitude. So it, this boils, brings it down to self-cherishing thought. Because we engage in negative karma, like killing, self-cherish because of this self-cherishing attitude. We want, actually, when we think of this, all this 10 non-virtues, it's all because of self-cherishing. We kill people because of self-cherishing attitude. We steal. If we have other cherishing thought, we would not steal. Because we know that if we steal money from other person or things from other person, we are, creating loss to the other person. And then other person, if person doesn't have that much money, that person will really suffer. And my uncle, one of my uncles, he went to do sweater business. So after 3 months of hard work, and on his way back, he lost everything. Those days, Tibetans, they tie money, you know, here or bring in bags. Somehow one night, that night, he was sleeping and it was stolen. And since then he was a bit different. That really had a toll on his mind. So if we really have that kind of other cherishing thought, we wouldn't engage, won't we? We will not. And then of course sexual misconduct. We would never do that. We know that we will, by engaging in this, we are harming somebody else. So likewise, the four of the speech and the three of the mind, all these are due to self-cherishing attitude. So he's saying it's because of self-cherishing attitude, we create negative karma. Because of negative karma, we experience unpleasant results. So, after seeing this, that we are all suffering, it says that since we are already suffering, let's try to take upon the sufferings of others. So this is part of the Tonglen. We give away our happiness and joy and love, and then we take upon others' suffering and pain. So this is saying that since we are already suffering, let's use this. Let's utilize this suffering towards the path of enlightenment. Convert, transform that suffering into a spiritual path. So taking upon that, of course, it will not make your own suffering go, but because of that mental attitude, there is a difference. I think in terms of facing that, especially when lamas, when they are diagnosed with a terminal illness, cancer or whatnot, but they cope very well. And because to them, oh, this is the opportunity for me to practice Tonglen. So when they experience all this, they are taking on others' suffering. And also they view it as a way of exhausting their negative karmas. Remember, there are different ways to purify negative karma. One is really to eradicate from the root itself so that you don't experience at all. Another one is to lighten the heaviness of the karma, the result of karma. That is to experience in this life. So when you befall with all this kind of sickness, they take it as this is to die, what do you call, to avert bigger suffering. So if your karma is to be born in born as animals, those animals to be really tortured. And instead, if you suffer in this life in the form of cancer or some sickness, that is better. So they perceive in that way, they view in that way. So they take it as a good opportunity, good thing. Whereas when those of us, we don't have this kind of practice, then we suffer, not only physical. So at when we have all these sicknesses, it is only at the physical level. But because we don't know how to take that or interpret that, that adds on to another layer of mental suffering. Not only physically we suffer mentally as well. Whereas bodhisattvas and those who are practitioners, it remains at physical level. And because of their attitude, they're able to kind of minimize that. I shared the story that His Holiness told about. Remember when His Holiness has some, was that at one time in Bodh Gaya, His Holiness has some, I don't know, it's appendicitis or something. So he's so much in pain when he saw others suffering. His Holiness' whole focus is on the others suffering. Because of that, His Holiness didn't really feel the pain there onwards. So these are, you know, just changing a bit of our attitude can make a huge difference. So may the suffering, so this is the practice of Tonglen. So where you do the Tonglen, and I think everybody knows how to do the Tonglen. So this is where we are supposed to do that. When we are down with sickness, instead of, instead of saying, what is happening to me? I am sick all the time. This shouldn't be happening. Instead, okay, since I'm already suffering, let's just use this as a Dharma practice. Let me just use this to take upon others' suffering. So that way, yeah, it's better. Then it says, Kedi randu tiwa shupe tse dola rangi tiki dola chin. So this is talking from hypothetical, because this teaching is for the bodhisattvas. So it is, that's why it's hypothetical. When bodhisattvas, when once in a while, if if this thought arises, that when I become enmeshed in selfishness, when bodhisattvas hypothetically, once in a while, if this selfish thought arises, it says that I will offer my own happiness to living so as to counteract it. So because the self-cherishing attitude is the main obstacle, main hurdle to achieving enlightenment. So hypothetically, normally it doesn't arise, but sometimes if it arises, it says that we should, in order to counter that, I will offer my own happiness. Dola rangi tiki dola chin chidartala kurji lokdubse rangi yengbe lenji nyingsem dings. So this is very common. It says, in the same way should a companion be ungrateful to me, I will be content in knowing that this is in retribution for my own inconsistency. So here it says inconsistency, but actual text it says negligence. So another translation it says, when selfish cravings enter my heart, I will expel it and offer my happiness to all beings. If those around me rise in mutiny against me, I will relish it, thinking this is due to my own negligence. So this is very common. Many times we experience this. You know, out of good intention, you help this person, that person. All the time you are helping this person. And then when you expect them to return the favor, at least show some appreciation, some gratitude. This doesn't happen. And then what do? We were so cross, we were so angry, and then we started to talk bad about the person. So here is saying that when this happens, instead of criticizing the other person, it says that I will be content in knowing that this is in retribution for my own inconsistency. We know that as a Buddhist, whatever experience happens, it is a result of karma. And it is not a karma that somebody created. It is the karma that we ourselves have created. So remember when we talk about the four characteristics of karma, we say that one of them is that no results, we will not experience any results of karma that we have not created. So if that is the case, so when this happens, why would we think that, you know, it's nothing to do with me? So here is saying, when this happens, take it as, you know, this is a result of some action, negative actions that we have done in the past. So that is very helpful. When you are able to have that kind of attitude, that will really minimize criticizing others. That will really minimize blaming others. And then also it is kind of acceptance. When we have acceptance, it is the first step to cope with the difficulty. Here it says, Rangi Yingbe Lingxin, Ning Sim Ding. I don't know whether it is content, I think it's content. So in the translation it says, I don't know whether this is a common thing. When I was young, when we were a kid, we always say this, when something bad happens, so they will tease, what is there? Penpo chung. It's good. You deserve it. That's what we say. So something bad happens, we used to tease. So let's say as a person knocked accidentally and there's pain, and they say, that means you deserve it, good. So here we're saying that when these things happen, when other people fail to show appreciation, when other people treat you badly despite your treating them well, this happens, you tell yourself, good, it is because of my own action. I must have done that to somebody else in the past. Now I am experiencing the result. So instead of, you know, feeling so low about it, just make it fun. Good, isn't it? Lula mesu naza chungwe se drowe lula neba kewa yi lenyin sunja rangla korwa yi tani naza malu rangla langs. So now begins the actual weapon, what's that? Sharp weapon, wheel of sharp weapon. So here now it says, when my body falls prey to terrible sickness, it is the weapon of my own evil deeds turned upon me, for injuring the bodies of living beings. From now on, I shall take all sickness upon myself. So this is what I mentioned. So because of our attitude, there are two persons, but they have same kind of sicknesses, but because of their attitude, the suffering, the degree of suffering will be different. The person who have this kind of attitude, Bodhisattva's kind of attitude, they will feel the pain, physical pain, but mentally they are at ease, at peace. Whereas those who have no understanding of this karma and all that, then they start to ask, why me? Why? I told you the difference between the cancer patient and AIDS patient. Cancer patients always raise this question, always ask, why me? I've been good. I've never missed Sunday sermons. I went to churches all the time. I have never cheated, I haven't done this, I haven't done this, but I did this, I did charity, I thought, why me? Of course we are talking of, first of all, I've never done that, it is a big statement. We don't even remember what we did yesterday. Forget about, you know, what we did or what we didn't do in that whole lifetime. I don't even remember what I did yesterday. To you? Yeah. And then, yeah. And karma, of course, we can explain. From the Buddhist point of view, karma is not about this life. If you try to explain karma only in this lifetime, then the question arises, how come Donald Trump is still president, isn't it? Yeah. But of course, karma is not just this lifetime. It is all the lifetime. So some of the karmas that we have created thousands of lives before and only experiencing now. So whatever we did in this life, we will experience next life. So sometimes we feel that, you know, it would be so wonderful if karma is instant. If you tell a lie, something happens.
Pinocchio.
Like Pinocchio. If you tell a lie, your nose becomes longer. You did something else, a horn appears. Then, oh, he must have told a lie because he has a horn. It's so good, isn't it? But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
I used to tell my son when I was angry, I'm growing horns. And so then I would like remove myself or ask him to remove himself from the room.
Yeah, so here it is saying, so what, when we befall with sicknesses, it is the result of our harming other living beings in our past life. Remember when we talk about the results of killing karma, we talked about the heavy karma is the three lower realms, and then the lighter one is, even if you are able to achieve human rebirth, you will be all the time prone to sickness. There are people sometimes, you know, there are some people who are all the time sick, one after another. Some one day you are down with flu, another time something else. So these, when these happens, it says that take it as, you know, the experiencing. So this, where am I? Yeah, so this is Lenyin Sunja. It is the weapon of my own evil deeds turned upon me. So here we come for the first time, that weapon of my own evil deeds. So that sharp weapon, remember? When you release that, it will spin and goes round and harm everybody, cuts everybody. So this is like the result that karmic deed, whatever we have done, that negative deed, is now coming back. It's like the weapon, this sharp weapon, because sharp weapon causes harm. Likewise, these deeds, the result of our deeds, comes back and hurt us in a form of different forms of results. So this is what I'm saying. It is the weapon of my own evil deeds turned upon me for injuring the bodies of living beings. So now that you have this realization, what should we do? Is that from now on, I shall take all sickness upon myself. So if you are sick, use that as a path to your spiritual progress. Take upon, is that may all, what whoever is suffering, may all that, you know, may I all that sick, may I take upon all that sickness. So you may not be able to really take the sickness, but it somehow gives you this boost, and that will help you to fight your disease, your illness. So they say that the best way to remain healthy is to remain emotionally healthy. So that kind of attitude will boost your emotional health. So when you are emotionally healthy, you will be able to cope with any kind of physical challenges. Next one. Rangi semla tuni chungwe tse nyebara shenge semju chukba yi lenin sunja rangla kurwa tani tuni malu rangla langs. So the first one is about physical suffering. So when physical suffering happens, when physical pain befalls us, so that is the result. So now it's talking about mental health. Even though we are physically well, but if we are mentally unhappy, some people, for no reason, they are unhappy all the time. So there's nothing really there, but somehow, yeah, they are unhappy. So it's when my mind falls prey to suffering. So this is the mental health. When you are mentally unhappy, or you experience mental suffering. So it is surely the weapon of my own. So how should we take that? Is how should we view that kind of suffering? Is that it is surely the weapon of my own evil deeds turned upon me for troubling the minds of others. So in the past, I must have destroyed other people's peace of mind. I must have caused so much trouble to other people. So if that is the case, so we have to really, it is quite scary to think about. Try to recollect how many times you have troubled others, how many times you have destroyed peace of your mind, from young to now. First with your parents. Were you an obedient child? Did you have a good relationship with your parents? Or did you just all the time cause unhappiness to your parents? And then the people that, you know, you encounter along your life, there will be countless times. So when unhappiness, mental unhappiness arises, so you can understand that, oh, even in this lifetime, I have caused so much trouble to so many people. Then how many more had I caused in my past lives? So it is understandable that I am experiencing this kind of a mental difficulty, mental unease. So that's the way. Why they are all this saying is when bodhisattvas, when they practice, when they are on the spiritual path, these are the hindrances. When they befall sicknesses, they get discouraged. they don't want to pursue. So when this happens, it is saying, it is teaching us that this is the way to cope. When this happens, take it as the weapon of your own devil turn upon yourself. And then they are able to cross that hurdle. So these are various incidences that Bodhisattvas may be discouraged in their practice. So every time when you encounter this and that specific incidents, think this way. Take that kind of attitude. Adopt that attitude. So this is all about. Yeah. So the important point here is that I'm repeating that. So when you have this kind of understanding, especially, let me rephrase. When this happens, so of course it is our karma. But main thing that these negative karmas are given rise to by self-cherishing attitude. So this is a way to see the flaws, see the disadvantages of self-cherishing attitude. So when we see that, when we see the flaws and shortcomings and the disadvantages of the self-cherishing attitude, then this wish or intention to do something about it will arise. And one important thing is, through these reflections, definitely we will be able to minimize blaming others. We complain a lot. It's all, when you look at all these complaints, all about others. We are pointing fingers. That's why they say that when you be careful when you point your finger at another person, because the other three are pointing at you. Only one finger is at the other person, but three fingers pointing at you. Yeah. So this, I think that this is very good, very practical, very effective if we take it seriously. If we really, I don't want to use the word, but lack of term, yeah. If you really buy into this, definitely it will stop you from, blaming others.
Embrace.
Yeah, if we embrace, yeah. Yeah. And then, if you stop blaming others, it's very good. There will be a marked, conflicts, especially in one house, with husband and wife, with partner, with family members. It's all about, you didn't do that, you didn't do that, you were wrong. I am always right, isn't it? So that's why we have these conflicts. So if you're able to say, whatever he's doing, whatever she's doing, whatever he did, even if you feel that it's unjust, I must have done something in the past. So you are able to let that go quickly. You're able to forgive that. If you forgive that, it's good. Then there's no hostility, there's no argument, there's no quarrel. Happy family. The other person is happy, you are happy, everybody is happy. Then it's good. Rani tekum thakbu serwa na thamda kutro sena cheba yi lenye sunja rangla kowa yi tani tekum malu rangla langs. So this is an incidence where when we are tormented by, or when I'm tormented by extreme hunger and thirst, It is the weapon of my own evil deeds turned upon me for swindling, stealing, acting miserly. From now on, I shall willingly take all hunger and thirst upon myself. So this again is another situation where we experience this kind of extreme hunger and thirst. So in such situations, it is said it is the weapon of my own evil deeds turned upon me for swindling, for cheating others, conning others, stealing others' possessions, and then acting miserly. So acting miserly is not only, you know, to others, even being miser to yourself. There are people who likes to hoard things, who have a lot of money and all this, but they are really miser, they are really stingy, they didn't even want to use it for themselves. So we have this Hindi phrase, maki juice. Did I mention here? Yeah, maki juice. Remember that mosquito? Gujaratis. This part of the in India, the state is called Gujarat.
Yeah.
So they are known for their miserliness. So there's this saying, maki juice. So for them, if a mosquito falls into their tea, instead of throwing or pouring away that, they will, because they don't want to waste that. Of course, I don't know how true that is. It's just a saying. So when we talk about miserliness, it is also about, especially if you are miser about making offerings to three jewels, that's the worst. So when we do, so there's this advice that we do this Nyungne practice. You all know about this Nyungne practice, yeah. So Nyungne, during Nyungne, so we have to fast. So one day you don't even drink, you don't even consume a drop of water, and you don't eat. So it's a real fasting. So here says that when we do this Nyungne practice, it says that we should view it as a spiritual practice. I am engaging in spiritual practice to purify all those the negative actions which will result into extensive, extreme hunger and thirst. So the main practice is, from now on, I shall willingly take all hunger and thirst upon myself. But it doesn't mean that, you know, you just visualize taking that, and then in front of your eyes there's somebody really hungry and thirsty and you don't give anything. We should give them. That's the real practice. And then, of course, you can do all the taking upon all the sufferings of all sentient beings. So that, of course, you cannot do, but you only can do through visualization. But if the person is suffering in front of you, we should do that. Wangmei shengji kreshi narwe tse men la tangshin tendu kwewa yi lenyin sunja rang la korwa yi tani luso shengji tendu kwelulus. There's another story before that. Let me tell you the story, since people like story. So this swindling, there's a story. So one time, it says that a European official, some minister, visited his, Indian minister visited a European minister in Europe. So this minister was living in a very, huge house. And so he asked, the Indian minister asked this one, said, "You are just a minister, you know." He knows that ministers don't earn much. But he said, "How come you can afford this kind of big house?" So he says that. So he called the Indian minister to the window, and then he pointed to the bridge. He said, "Do you see that bridge?" He said, "Yes. 50%. That means he has swindled 50% from that bridge, construction contract. So this is where the swindling comes in. So politicians, very dangerous, isn't it?" And then the next few years later, European minister, some Europe country, that minister visited his Indian friend now, this time. Wow, he was living in even grander house. And then, he asked the same question. I said that, "How come, you know, how did you manage to have this kind of building?" So he said, "Come here." So he brought him to the window and said, "Do you see the bridge there?" So he looked at it. I said, "No, 100%. So it is very common. So I think in India it is very common that, you know, the government gives so much money to the village or whatever it is. But money never gets down. Even the government has allocated, let's say, 1 million. At the end, they will be like 100,000 or something. All that is swindled, all that's grown, taken away. So these, if you do that, then the result will be extreme hunger and thirst. So let's just cover this last one. 我们先去开始那日子,没了当时天都过我,来年春节让了苦我,当你留守先去天都过了。 When I am powerless and suffer enslavement, it is the weapon of my own evil deeds turned upon me for despising my inferiors and enslaving them. From now on, I shall make slaves of my body and my life for the sake of others. Have you experienced this, powerless and suffer enslavement? But some of the maids, especially in some countries, they are very badly ill treated. So they restricted this and that, and then they will make them work so hard, and then they pay very little. So there are people undergoing this kind of suffering. So if you are in that kind of situation and there's nothing you can do about, but you are able to think this way, it will at least help you to cope the situation. So anyway, here it is saying that when we experience this, this is how we have treated other peoples. So those who are bosses in your own department, so be careful.
So how do we implement?
So when we experience all this, so we have to view it as our result, as the weapon of my own evil deeds turned upon me for despising my inferiors and enslaving them. This is some people, when there is a saying, be careful on your way up because you will never know when you will meet that person when you are coming down. So that's why this is that when basically it's that we should treat others with respect. So now on I shall make slips of my body and my life for the sake of. So as a counter, is it? So I will instead dedicate my service to others. I will help others as much as I can. So this, of course, includes like taking part in a charity works, volunteering here and there. All these count as an antidote to help others. Use your body to help. Okay, so we will stop here, which is the 12th stanza. So remember to use this when you are at work. So you may encounter similar situations. Sometimes you are so busy with work and then you didn't get time to eat. You are hungry. Instead of getting agitated, calm yourself. Sometimes when you are hungry, then our patience is low. So even somebody says something, little thing, yes, it flares up. So when this happens, remember the stanza from this text. It may help. Okay.
So we should say the short one on page 4 and then the dedication prayers beginning on page 6.
Joje medo dama gera leje nyende gemba de sanje jindo midem bewaye jogu namda jela chobara jo mendala ganaya deya me Rimbo je ma je pa nama je jo je je ba nyam ba me ba ya kone gondo pe wara jo Rabden je nam ga tele jo jo je ba da dozan tembe jome sa zum je jove me ze ta do ne jo ro je Shinga mundu pendan dewa malu jungwe ne Chere sewan tenzin jazoi Shabe sete bado ten joro je
Jampel pavu jita jemba da
Kundu zambo teya de jendo Teda kunge jesu dhalo Gyawa deda tamje rabdo ngo Gyawa dhamje ge ngowa kala chodo ngawa Dajin gewe tzawan dekwen kya Sambu chuchi rabdo ngowa rai ge